That brings us up to our second objective. Our objective for today, we must understand the church's structure. We must understand the church's structure. The subtitle for today's message is, I am responsible. I am responsible. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Church, if we're going to prepare a safe place, we must understand the church's structure. By that word structure, I simply mean the way that we are organized and arranged. That's what structure means, the way that we are organized and arranged. If we are going to prepare a safe place, we must understand how the church is organized and how it is arranged. We must understand how the church is organized and how it is arranged. So what is the church's structure? Well, the church is a spiritual body made up of individual believers, and Jesus is its head. The church is a spiritual body made up of individual believers, and Jesus is its head. In other words, the church is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Well, Pastor, I know that. Well, I would argue that too many of us really don't know that. We have heard it, but too many of us have not established a relationship with it. We have heard that we are the body of Christ, but we have not sought to understand what that means for us individually. And we have not modified our behavior to conform to a clear understanding of what the body of Christ is. We've heard it, but we really don't know it. But today we want to really understand what it means that I am a member of the body of Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and we know, of course, that he is addressing a very troubled church. This church had all kinds of problems. And one of the reasons why this church had so many problems is it did not really understand. The members of this church did not really understand who they were to be. And so they were engaging in all sorts of things that they should not have been doing. They were out of order in so many different ways. They did not understand what it really meant for them to be a local body of believers. So Paul has to address all sorts of issues in this church. And here in chapter 12, he addresses the proper use of spiritual gifts, because they were all over the place. And they were coveting certain gifts. Felt that if I had a certain gift, I'm better than you. So he addresses the proper use of spiritual gifts. And in addressing spiritual gifts, he also helps them understand the structure of the church. He gives them a clear picture of the church as the body of Christ. So we're going to read quite a bit, but we're going to start in segments. Let's read verses 12 through 14. He says, for the body is one, and for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now that's a tongue twister. But what Paul is saying is the body of Christ is like a physical body made up of members, but it's just one body. That's what he's saying. He says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So Paul is saying that we were put into the body through the Spirit. So when he talks about we are of one spirit, we're baptized into the body, he's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about that new birth process, that moment where we were born again. And when we were born again, regardless of what we were before, regardless of the label that we wore, we were engrafted into one body. And that body is made up of many members. It's not just one person. One person doesn't make up the church. It is made up of individual members. Let's continue. Verse 15. He says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? In other words, if everyone was the same, how could we have a body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. This is what Paul is saying. He's saying the body is not just one member, but many. And within the body, everyone has a place. He's saying within the body, everyone has a place. That in the body, there is no place for low self-esteem. But in the body, there is also no place for pride. I can't have low self-esteem and say, I don't matter, because I'm in the body. I can't be in the body and say that I don't need anybody else. I'm part of the body. All of us have been placed in the body by God himself. See, the scripture says he placed us as it pleased him. Not as it pleased us, as it pleased him. So each and every Christian, every believer is placed in the body. And God puts us in the body to accomplish a particular work. Every one of us, without exception. Every believer is in the body, placed by God to accomplish a particular work. Well, Pastor, I just feel like I'm a nobody. That's not true. Not in the eyes of God. And you're not a nobody in the body. Let's continue reading. Verse 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, or brought the body together, the individual members of the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. He's saying God even honors those among us who are weak and feeble and who seem like nothing. That everybody in the body of Christ has importance. And it is so that we would not have schism in the body, and that we would have the same care one for another. Here's our last verse, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You are the body of Christ, and members in particular. In other words, you are collectively Christ's body, and individually, you are members of it. And each one of you has your own place and function. That's how the body of Christ is structured. That's how the church is structured. See, when each one of us was born again, we were made a member of the body of Christ. We were grafted in, having our own place and function. So it's not that I should consider taking on more responsibility in the church. I have responsibility. I have responsibility whether I admit it or not. I have responsibility whether I acknowledge it or not, whether I accept it or not, whether I fulfill my responsibility or not. Why? Because God put me in the body and he gave me responsibility. I'm responsible for my church. Doesn't matter. Young, older, newer, been here a long time. I am responsible for my church. So the question for all of us to ask ourselves, what am I doing with my responsibility? What am I doing with my responsibility? See, because I'm a member of a body. So if I do my part, then the body is strong. But if I fail to do my part, the body is weakened. Am I doing my part? How many of us have ever even asked the Lord, what is my place and my function in my church? How many of us have ever asked God, am I doing what you want me to do? How many of us are just simply doing what we want to do? What we like to do? What we are willing to do? If they ask me to do this, I'll be willing to do that, but I'm not willing to do this. Are we functioning as we should? Or worse yet, are we just simply a church critic with a keen eye on everything that's wrong? Sitting back, making observation about the things that our church is lacking. Sitting back, making observation about the people who are working. Sitting back, complaining and not doing anything. Are we just simply a church critic? Sitting back and criticizing. Well, if I am a church critic, I need to understand that I'm just as responsible for my church as the people I criticize. See, we're all members of the body. And we all have responsibility. When you start to tell Christians that, they start to back away. Well, see, I don't have time right now. I have too much going on right now. I can't commit right now. See, I don't like how they do things, so I'm just going to step back right now. See, it's simply because I don't really believe that I'm a part of a body. I don't really believe that. I don't believe that the church needs me, and I don't think I need the church. Because if I really thought I needed the church, I would give my share to the church. So I can't say that I know that I'm a member of the body of Christ and I'm unwilling to give my share. I don't believe it. I believe that I'm a self-made Christian. I believe that I'm my own person. I believe that I do the church a favor by giving them my presence. But I don't believe that I'm a part of the body. See, the church is a spiritual body made up of individual members, and Jesus is its head. And as a member of the body, I have personal responsibility.